Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a warehouse-grade breakbeat engine inside Ableton Live 12, the kind of brickwork that feels like it's bouncing off concrete walls, with ragga vocal pressure and bass movement that stays heavy without turning the mix into soup. The goal here is not just to make a busy drum loop. The goal is to make the break behave like a living instrument inside a drum and bass arrangement, something that can evolve, answer itself, and mutate every few bars like a real selector working the room. This technique is especially at home in the drop, the second drop variation, or any high-energy switch-up section, where you want raw energy and controlled chaos. Think dark roller turning into jungle pressure. Think neuro energy with ragga attitude. Think organized violence, but with groove. So let's set the foundation first. Start the project at 174 BPM. Keep things clean and organized from the beginning, because DNB can get cluttered fast. Create tracks for drum main, drum chaos, sub, mid bass, ragga FX or vocal, atmos, drum bus, bass bus, and a master reference track if you like to compare your work against references. On the master, leave headroom. Aim for peaks around minus 6 dB while you're building. That gives you room to push saturation, compression, and glue later without clipping yourself into a corner. Use stock Ableton devices as your core toolkit. Utility for gain staging and mono control. EQ8 for cleanup. Drum bus for weight and attitude. Saturator for controlled aggression. And glue compressor only if you actually need glue. Don't overcompress early. In warehouse DNB, impact and separation matter more than raw loudness at this stage. Now, choose a break with personality. An amen, a think break, or any raw jungle-style loop with ghost notes and strong transient detail will work well. What matters is that the break has enough texture to survive chopping and processing. Drop it on drum main, then right-click and slice it to a new MIDI track. In Live 12, this is where the fun starts. Slice by transient if you want maximum control and a more organic feel, or use a fixed grid like 1/8 notes if you want a more deliberate, mechanical starting point. For this style, transient slicing is usually the better choice. It lets the groove keep its natural shape while still giving you total control over each hit. Once the slices are in the drum rack, immediately organize them. Put kick-heavy hits on one area, snare hits in another, hats and noise fragments somewhere else, and tail bits somewhere you can find them quickly. Rename pads if needed. Color code them if that helps you move faster. Now program a two-bar pattern. Think of it like a conversation. Bar 1 establishes the main phrase. Bar 2 answers it with ghost notes, stutters, or a snare variation. Keep one strong anchor in place, usually the snare backbeat or a distinctive rim or ghost cluster, so the listener has something to grab onto while the rest of the pattern gets wild. A useful starting velocity range is around 90 to 120 for your main hits, and 25 to 70 for ghost notes. That difference matters. You want some hits to feel like they're stepping forward and others to feel like they're lurking in the background. One advanced move here is to duplicate the rack to a second track and process it differently. Keep one rack as the core groove and make the other one your chaos mutant. That way, you're not destroying the main break just to get aggression. You're building a parallel layer that can come in when the track needs more danger. Next, shape the groove with micro timing. This is where the break stops sounding like a loop and starts sounding like a performance. Keep the main snare lock to the grid, but nudge ghost hats a little late, maybe 5 to 15 milliseconds. Push some fill hits slightly ahead for urgency. Offset an occasional snare flam by 10 to 20 milliseconds. Those tiny timing changes create push and pull, and in DNB that subtle instability is everything. You can also use groove pull with restraint. Start with a light swing or a groove extracted from your own break, then keep the timing influence low, maybe 10 to 25%. Too much swing and the drop starts feeling lazy. You want elasticity, not a laid-back funk pocket. Also vary note length. Tight notes for kick-like slices. Slightly longer notes for snare tails or noise fragments. Very short notes for glitch rolls and ghost artifacts. This makes the break feel more like it's being performed in real time, even when it's heavily chopped. Now let's give the drums that warehouse tone. On drum main, start with drum bus. Keep the drive moderate, maybe 5 to 15%. Crunch can be anywhere from 0 to 20 depending on how dirty you want the mids. Use boom carefully. If the break already has low end, don't let drum bus overinflate the bottom. If you need a bit more snap, push the transient slightly positive. Then add saturator. A drive of around 2 to 6 dB. Is often enough to bring out grit without flattening the entire drum image. Turn on soft clip, Then trim, then output back down so you're not just making things louder. Use EQ 8 after that. High pass only if the brake is stepping on the sub. Make small cuts around 250 to 500 Hz if the drums get boxy, and tame harsh top end around 7 to 10 Khz if the hats start getting brittle. A warehouse brake should feel huge, but not bloated. The low end still needs room to breathe. If the main brake starts feeling too polite, send a duplicate to Drum Chaos and process it more aggressively. Try Redux for downsampled edge, auto filter with some envelope motion, saturator pushed harder, and maybe corpus if you want metallic resonance on select fragments. Keep that layer low in the mix. It's not a second drum kit. It's pressure, texture, and attitude. Now bring in the ragga energy. Create a ragga FX or vocal track with short shouts, chants, spoken fragments, or one-liner responses. Keep it rhythmically selective. In this style, vocals work best when they behave like percussion. Place them on off beats, at the end of two-bar phrases, as answers to snare accents, or right before a fill. You want that call and response feeling. Snare fill, then vocal shout, then break chop, break roll, then bass stab. That interaction is a huge part of what makes the style feel authentic. Use simpler if you want to slice vocal phrases quickly. Add auto filter to move the tone around. Use short delay times like 1/8, dotted 1/8, or 1/16 depending on the rhythm, and add reverb with a short decay, maybe around 0.8 to 1.8 seconds, so the vocal sits in the warehouse space instead of floating outside the mix. If needed, use a compressor for a little sidechain ducking so the vocal tucks into the groove instead of fighting the drums. Now let's design the bass around the break, not over it. Split your bass into SUB and MID bass. For the sub, use operator or wave eatable to build a clean sine or near sine foundation. Keep it mono with utility. Let the sub follow the rhythm carefully, and keep the note lengths shorter than you might expect. Low pass it around 80 to 120 Hz if needed, and keep modulation minimal. The sub should support the rhythm, not compete with the break. For the mid bass, use wave eatable, operator, or a resampled patch. Give it movement with subtle unison, phase, or filter motion. Add saturator, amp, or overdrive for character. Keep the stereo width under control, and if you widen anything, do it above the low fundamental only. A strong approach here is to write the bass in two phrases. Phrase A supports the first two bars of the drop. Phrase B answers the next two bars with a different rhythm or filter shape that keeps the low end evolving without turning into one static wall. This matters because the break provides urgency and texture, while the bass provides scale and impact. If both are trying to occupy the same rhythmic space, the mix gets muddy. If they answer each other, the drop feels intentional. Now for the secret weapon, resampling. Route the break and chaos layers to an audio track called Resample Print. Record 4 or 8 bars of the most interesting drum movement, including vocal hits, filter sweeps, and fills. Then chop that audio into new fragments. Transient slice the resample. Reverse some hits. Pitch a few fragments down by 3 to 7 semitones. Duplicate short sections for rolls and stutters. Then process the resampled layer with beat repeat for glitch bursts, auto filter with a narrow resonance, erosion for gritty top end damage, or a very small amount of frequency shifter for unsettling motion. Keep that layer low in the mix most of the time. Bring it up during transitions, every 8 or 16 bars, or as you move into the second drop. This is where the track starts feeling like someone is smashing racks in the next room, and that is exactly the kind of warehouse energy we want. Now let's talk about automation. Because in this style, movement is more important than raw loudness. Automate the filter cutoff on the chaos layer over 4 or 8 bars. Open the reverb send on vocal hits only at phrase ends. Push saturator drive during a build. Increase drum bus transient response in the last bar before a drop. Open the bass filter into the drop, then close it slightly once the groove lands. A strong arrangement might go like this. Intro with filtered break fragments, vocal atmospheres, and no full sub. Drop 1 with the main chopped break, sub, and restrained mid-bass. At bar 9, introduce the first switch-up with a drum fill and a vocal shout. At bar 17, bring in the chaos layer and a harsher bass phrase. Then strip things back in the breakdown to just vocal echo, one ghost of the break, and filtered room tone. Finally, drop 2 brings the groove back, but mutated, louder in attitude, and more dangerous in the details. A few common mistakes to avoid. Don't overchop the break until it loses identity. Keep at least one recognizable snare anchor and one recurring hat pattern. Don't let the break carry too much low end. The sub should own the bottom octave. Don't make the chaos layer too loud. If you can hear every detail clearly, it's probably too exposed. Don't ignore mono compatibility. Keep the sub-mono and check your low end often. Don't overcompress the drum bass. Use compression for glue, not as a rescue tool. And don't let raga chops land like random samples. They should answer the drums like part of the rhythm section. A few advanced pro moves can push this even further. Try layering a very low volume distortion copy of the break, band limited to the mids, for Menace without mod. Use short auto filter ramps instead of huge sweeps. Print a distorted bass phrase to audio, then cut out the cleanest notes and leave the ugly edges. Add a beat of silence before a drop to make the first hit slam harder. Use the rack chain on individual slices when you want a single hit to explode. Keep the reese width out of the sub region. Let the stereo energy live above the fundamental. Use ghost snares and tiny rim fragments to imply faster motion without overcrowding the groove. And always check the whole thing at low volume. If it still feels vicious quietly, you're probably on the right track.